Welcome to Piercing the Veil on BBSRadio.com, a show for truth seekers and rebels. Join us every week as we obliterate willful ignorance, corruption, globalist agendas, and more. Tune in every Sunday at 5 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Pacific, and listen carefully as we provide crucial solutions, information awareness, and unique life hacks to improve our planet. Pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.
All right, welcome back, world, to another episode. Today, we're going to do a little part five of our mini-series that we've been doing, which is called Let's Build a Community. We've gone over some various different things like materials, taking out a proper piece of land. One of the more important things is pre-screening the individuals who would be the initial members on that land as well. There's going to be some really profound techniques and methods that are going to be dropped here regarding how to stem the flow of interpersonal ego conflict. That always happens. It's pretty much inevitable at some point if you live in a community-oriented setting that something's going to go south between two people. How quickly that gets resolved and the manner it gets resolved in is really the important thing. And then also an additional concern, I should say, would be how to prevent it in the first place, because an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Okay? All right, so let's welcome back Corey onto the show. Corey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing quite well. It's hot, but I'm in my Adobe house, so I'm staying cool.
I imagine you're doing better than most, then, especially out there south of Tucson. That's got to be brutal for everybody. Yeah. Okay. So I'm also having some mic issues and problems with Skype. All of a sudden, Microsoft wants me to verify my account when it was working right before the episode when I checked. So all of a sudden now I'm having issues getting logged in. We just roll with the punches, so I'm calling from the phone. So what I want to get into is about contracting and prevention. How do we make smart contracts? And again, that also means blockchain contracts and smart in that regard, but it means proper contracts that are going to think of all possibilities, or as many as we can anticipate, if you will, up front. And then also, how in those contracts, how do we remove the interpersonal ego relationship between what would be deemed as a hierarchy, a controller and the control person subject to the contract, or the offering party to the offeree, that type of deal? We're going to try to find some ways to balance that out, and I look forward to hearing your version of how you would see that work, Corey.
All right.
So how we know about smart contracts, and most of the people here from Steemit will know about smart contracts. I think our Facebook listeners might be able to Google that as well. What do you see besides the basic living agreement that's there? What do you see might be necessary as far as additional documentation or contracting? Let's just throw a few things out there and see what we might need in addition.
Generally, or with regards to a community? Self-sustained community.
Well, with a community so if we're piggybacking off of what we've already been saying in the past four episodes on Let's Build a Community, we've already said that we're going to need to pre-screen people. Once those people are pre-screened, they need to sign a general agreement, behavioral agreement, that type of thing. And then now, is there any type of ancillary thing that you might foresee to be prudent in this type of situation or helpful? Because not only are we trying to protect ourselves, we're trying to provide a value and a benefit to the people there. That is where we differ as in terms of like a unilateral contract that you would have with a credit card company. You do it this way or we're going to fuck you type deal. That's not what I'm looking for, right? I'm looking for positive reinforcement for failure. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I would think that, you know, as you mentioned, just in terms of work or contribution that people agree to, right? And time frames and so forth. You know, if they miss on those, then there's some kind of, you know, maybe built into the contract, there's one or two opportunities to correct, right? As we often do when we contract with people. and to sort of a built-in, you know, if they don't correct, then you know, there will be resulting penalties of some form or another. And, you know, maybe some of those penalties, they might stand as agreed to, and then there might be opportunity to negotiate those as well, to modify those. You know, all of those aspects, you know, in terms of what you were describing of people who perhaps, as a recompense for some of their participation in the community, that eventually they could go off and either buy or have transferred to them their own plots on the land, right? And then what's their relationship thereafter? Okay, obviously, if that's the case and they choose to do that and they're working their own plot, what's their obligation thereafter, time-wise or commitment-wise, to the community at large, right? So from what I remember, all the things that you've laid out as possibility, each one of those transactions, or as well as just general compensation, you know, or, you know, any aspect all along the way can be thought out, can be contracted, memorialized, yeah. You know, and, you know, if you look out far enough, oh, you know, you also mentioned, okay, let's say the community goes on. It's very successful. It grows, right? People are having kids. Other people are coming in more so than people are leaving. There's an escape clause. You know, what does leaving the community look like?
Just right? The balancing okay. of accounts, and then a receiving credit for where credit's due, and then debiting where debit is due. I like what you said about every single transaction regarding compensation and resources and things like that being able to be memorialized, if you will. Right. What I'm thinking of, let's just set forth a few examples for the listeners and for ourselves when we come back and look at this. Let's go ahead and say compensation. So a smart contract that is run automatically is unbreakable. It's witnessed, you know, we'll have a witness system somehow. And that smart contract will determine, based on which rights and duties that you've acquired, how much resources you're entitled to. And everybody I foresee has a basic resource agreement that they are entitled to free water, free this, free that. So there's no disputes. There's no, like, hoarding of anything. Everybody feels like they're protected on paper. Like, I got, you know, my basic needs met. Everybody's entitled to have electricity. Wi-Fi, so on and so forth. And of course, we would be setting up that infrastructure in a sustainable manner, which didn't require a lot of manpower, maintenance, or initial costs, so to speak. So that's one thing. And then now jumping over, so that's the resources agreement. You'll have a basic resources agreement, and then I see some sort of advanced privilege system or level, right, whereby you get access to a wider range of resources as your completed duties go up, or something like that. And then so we would also have a duties agreement as well. And that duties agreement would be like a ledger sheet. It would list the rights on one side and the duties on the other, so that people don't get discouraged or despaired about how much they have to do, because they're always reminded the abundance and gratefulness that they have on this side of the ledger, on the asset side of the ledger. And operating in this way, I think, is a really good reminder. These contracts, I want them somehow displayed. I wouldn't be opposed to even going so far as to have electronic displays in each abode or something, with people that's connected to a central server, and then in the community center, like a little kiosk where people can double check their, you know, they come and swipe on the screen, okay, what do I got to do, this is my that, they log in, nobody can, it's a blockchain, so nobody can fuck with it unless you have your password.
Right.
So that type of thing is what I really see. I want to integrate the primal and the primitive skills and integrate that with modern sustainable business, like I said, making plates out of wood pulp or wheat husks and forks and shit like that, or perhaps like some other really smart girls at a university recently did. They started wiring in DC voltage and solar panels, flexible solar panels, and all sorts of other accoutrements, if you will, amenities, into camping tents that they got donated from major big box stores. Cool. And then they went and they gave that to the homeless people in hot areas and or cool areas, depending on which model they were using. And they could cool, they could charge their phone, that type of thing. Even running something like a haircuts for the homeless type of program on our community. These are the types of things I want to do. And we, like we said before, we need people to run that. And this is a really a voluntarism principle community. It's a voluntary community. And it's got to be reinforced and structured in such a way to where that's not just a free-for-all, chaotic, nobody has any responsibility. Mm. But again, I want you, want your thoughts on this. What do you think about always having, like I said, if you do something, quote, bad and fuck up, the first chance you get to fix it is going to be a positive reinforcement. Fix this within 3 days, and we'll give you a shot at running this thing over here because people believe in second chances. Don't fix it, and then now you get to do this duty.
Right.
But that duty will pay you if you do it, right? So you're like, oh, I got punished by having to go get paid for doing something that's super easy for 4 hours. Oh, fuck.
Right.
Right? But nobody else wanted to do that task. So whatever task nobody wanted to do on that day would be on the shit list. And if you have to do something on the shit list, you still get paid for it. So this is the type of balance I'm looking at. So having, like, again, having some sort of display that's constantly there because, you know, let's be honest, there's a screen feed addiction in this country, and you know, basically.
I got it.
Yeah. So what do you think about that? Like integrating the needs and the trends and the social culture to some extent, not all the crappy stuff, but the basic, you know, things, integrating that with primitive and sustainable solar ideas and things like that. What's your thoughts?
Well, I mean, in general, when I have conversations with people, I'm orienting myself basically to live as if I were in a pre-industrial time, okay? So like 1860s, 1870s latest, right? And I'm looking to bring as much 21st century tech back with me, for example, solar power, right? So that there's actually electricity and things like that. I can run some of my modern devices, computing and so forth. So yeah, I mean, my feeling is like, I like to prepare to be living in a pre-industrial, but to be able to bring back as much technology into that as possible.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. The best of both worlds.
Yeah, and that being, you know, and what I mean by pre-industrial is that I don't dwell on it, but I see a strong possibility that all of this centralized services that we have, including agriculture, you know, big farming, trucking, supermarkets, centralized energy, right? Centralized electricity. I'm erring on the side of these things will either be disrupted or not available, at least for a period of time.
Well, they're designed to fail. They're designed to produce waste. They're designed to produce massive losses on balance sheets so that these companies can continue their bullshit over and over and over and get all these exemptions and tax refunds and
loss. Yeah,
it's crazy. So here's what I see with what you just said. I totally agree with all that. It's the merging that's important. How do we do it? Well, like you said, to avoid the centralization is an important part. So having a decentralized, voluntarism-based smart contract Internet of Things incorporated structure. That is what I envision. I see it as sort of like a everything is enforced. Okay, well, did you pick up the barrels and did you move them to this area and organize them? Okay, well, each one of these barrels is marked on the Internet of Things as barrel 1, barrel 2, barrel 3, barrel 4. And now looking on a GPS monitor, it looks like they're not organized at all. And one of them's all the way over here on the other side of the property. So you didn't complete that contract. And okay, so you don't get paid for that until you complete it. And when you complete it, maybe, you know, you got docked because you didn't fix it in time. You got docked $10 or something out of your however much came from that. Yeah. And that goes into the community pool that pays the people who actually do the workshops. So if it's important to people, it's going to get done. If it's not important to people and it needs to get done, it'll still get done. So we've covered both sides of that coin. Make sense?
Right. And yeah, and I like the idea of, you know, the, I don't know, for lack of a better term, the three strikes, you know. Okay, first time, you don't do what you obligated yourself to do. Instead of a penalty right away, well, here's an opportunity. If you do that, here's a way to get, you know, it's positive encouragement. I like that concept, right? So the first opportunity is a positive encouragement to complete the first task. And then you, if you do that, you'll get an opportunity to even benefit more. The second one would be neutral, right? If the first fix didn't work and the second opportunity comes up, it's more neutral. Like, okay, just fix the thing and, you know, everything is even.
Well, I think the second one, real quick, Corey, I think the second one should really be like a neutral but addition. So like you get added on a duty, and then if you don't complete that duty, it'll be a simple thing that you could do just real quick. If you don't complete that, then it goes to the third one, which actually docks and pay.
Which is actually a penalty, right? Right.
That's right. Now, guess
and
what?
Then,
that,
and then,
that penalty, Corey, goes to pay the person who actually does want to do that extra duty that didn't get done
right.
by the person who should have on a shit list.
And it's not, yeah, and it's not, and the only penalty really is, I would say, at that third phase is that that person misses out on the opportunity to get compensated for their thing. Someone else gets compensated for it. Right?
That's right.
And then you can add layers on that. Okay, if on three separate occasions you go through all three cycles, right, you don't do something, you get an opportunity to correct one, two, three times, you don't correct, then maybe there's some probationary thing. Maybe the next time if it comes up. So like maybe you get nine opportunities. And then you're out.
No, I understand. We're going to have to get more detail on that. But what is the excuse that most people use? I didn't get a notification, or I wasn't aware of that, or I wasn't this or that. So there's got to be integrated some sort of messaging system, Dishonor Notification Network, BND, or something like that, that is on the blockchain that says, hey, I sent this to you. Your device reads that, you know, you just like on Facebook, you saw it. At this time, you from that moment, you had this many hours to either dispute it and, you know, send back a message saying why to dispute it, or B, get that stuff done. And if your dispute doesn't meet it or whatever, then you're granted another, you know, the original time that you were granted to do it. Once our dispute is completed, which we'll have the ultimate authority to say, okay, no, that's a bullshit excuse, or no, okay, that's legitimate. You broke your leg. You can't pick up that thing. My bad. You know what I mean?
Right.
Oh, you had somebody else do it, and that person didn't register on the blockchain that they were supposed to do that duty. Okay, we'll go over there and send the dishonor notice to them. Thanks. Can you prove that?
Right.
Where's your message? Once they prove it, then we take care of it. Now, if we deny it, then they would have the original amount of time to do it over again. Now, here's where things get rough, because now the concept of perceived favorites or hierarchy, and this is really the point of this show, because we talked about the smart contracts. We just wanted to set forth the thread or the subtopic here. The hierarchy needs to go in most cases. Some places it works. It does work. But there are easier ways that require less hand-holding, less babysitting, less management, just total automation. Total automation. Did you do it? Did the Internet of Things register and say that you did it? No? Okay. All right, then. Boom. And that type of thing I think is really important, is removing the interpersonal connection. So how do we do that? Well, I had a really good idea that was sparked and inspired by a practice that one of my other close friends told me about, and she's actually been on here. We got to get her on soon as a guest, Jylin Sovereign. She basically says if you treat the land as an entity itself, as a conscious being, the house, the community center, the land, the extensions of it as a community being, like an actual person, and put that on paper, the creation of his existence and what its rights and duties are as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And have that be the person that everybody signs their contract with. They sign the contract with the land, and the land tells them, hey, you're not doing this right. You need to do this.
Wow.
And that's important. Yeah.
Right.
She blew my mind. I give her full credit for that idea. She blew my mind with that, but I'm going to take it and run with it to the stars because that is just fucking amazing. And why not, Corey? If people can fucking marry themselves, marry a church building, marry structures, marry inanimate objects, it's perfectly legitimate and legal to leave all of your assets to your pets when you die. I know one rich old lady in New Jersey that has, it's like a Vanderbilt property. She has like 150 acres, and it's all owned by a fucking dog. So she's dead now, yeah. Right? So yeah. Why the fuck not? Let's use that to our advantage. And that's really how I see like the main crux of how this is really going to get resolved, because there's always that personal infighting. And people are really, it's going to level people up so quickly. Of course, we're pre-screening to get people in that are going to be able to handle these types of shifts.
Sure.
But it's going to level, you're going to have to handle your shit, man. There's nothing that nobody else can be blamed for. You're going to blame the land. The land's going to be like, you know, silent, right? Silent and all powerful and not infringing.
Yeah, I like that because, yes, it does. Even the perception, however slight change of perception, right? It's even semantical. It would seem to change, like, you know, there's no bosses here per se. There's only entity. There's the land. There's the project. There's the whole concept itself. That's what you're committed to. So
yeah,
I like that idea. And I think that would do a lot towards even just that language would do a lot towards towards changing people's or at least, you know, not preventing people from fixating on personalities necessarily.
Yeah, and that's the prevention aspect of the whole thing. I think that is the main prevention thing that's going to stand in place of the hierarchy. Now, as far as enforcement and or contingency, people keep fucking up because they say, oh, what's the land going to do? Well, guess what? Somebody on that property or multiple people in a time of need and an emergency or just somebody who's on duty all the time is going to be responsible for security and enforcement, right? And that might be an ex-Marine, an ex-something, an ex-other, whatever. And if you've gone through all the, you know, appeals and tribunals and you're still found to be, you know, quote, in the wrong, well, we're just going to, you know, we'll be like, okay, you've got this many days to do this, otherwise you got to leave. And if you don't, well, then you got to leave. And this guy's going to escort you off the property.
Yeah, and I mean, it's you look at wild horses, okay? Now, wild horses, from what I understand, are pretty much matriarchies. And there's the head mare. And if some uppity adolescent kind of fucks up and does shit that they weren't supposed to do, that the community
ostracizes,
puts them out.
Yep.
And they're off in the distance. They're not allowed to come back until they show some kind of contrition, retribution, somehow or another, through their and they determine that through their horse knowing. and he's off. He or she is off in the distance, away from the herd, vulnerable to predators, you know, typically visually in visual contact with the herd so they could see and very much understand, yeah, I'm outside of the community here. So, and then typically, you know, they come back and they say, head down, I'm sorry, I'll make it right, whatever. And they're welcome back into the community. I mean, it's just, you know.
Well, that is true. And that's the way it works in a lot of communities. I've seen it happen a lot. But again, we want to take it to the next level. So even that itself, I want to avoid. I want them to have all the chances on the way out. And then when they go, I want them to leave like, well, shit, at least I got the money I was owed to me. And they said I could come back as a guest anytime. I just can't live there. I mean, depending on how you got fucking thrown out. If you do something crazy and you violate the agreement, well, better fucking
and as
leave.
You,
we'll press charges.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know,
or the land. The land will.
Yeah, I do. I really like that. And also, too, it's like, you know, there's vetting. You know, you have your vetting processes and stuff like that. That shit's not going to be 100%, you know. And people go through changes for whatever reason. You know, it could be something organic, you know, in their system or something. You can't really know how people are going to behave or perform until they're in.
Well, that's right? Why we need the flexible inflexibility of the structure, which is
sure.
Like, let everybody do what they need to do, but at the same time, you know, like, you can't do certain things. This is fucked up. You got to go. That type
yeah.
of deal. It's really important.
Also, I believe that there's a spiritual component there. You know, we're asking the universe for members of this community, and we're pretty clear generally on the type of mental state, energetic, physical makeup of people who we ideally want, that the land, that the community, that the enterprise is looking for. And I think those people will be provided based on the intent and the request on a spiritual level, too.
Well, and that's what the whole point is, to be a safe haven for adaptability. So we're not saying, hey, if you change organically, something happens to you, you got to go. We're saying, here's all the fucking tools you could ever need and basic
right.
needs being met while you're dealing with this. And if you somehow still can't deal with that while that's happening, then it's very likely you lied and got past our screening process, and now we got to reconsider, are you going to be able to pack it here?
Right.
You know,
I mean,
and then again, Corey, we want it to be flexible, so on the other end, it's easy for them to go, as long as the accounts are settled. Like, I don't want to hang on to anybody or their stuff or any of that shit. I'm not doing any of that type of thing. I don't want to use their stuff.
Are you breaking up a little bit? Say that last part again, the last 30 seconds.
So we want to make it flexible for everybody in a way that they aren't like bogged down if they're leaving, even if they dishonor and leave. We want to settle the accounts quickly, get them out on their way. If they are eligible, wish them goodwill as a guest to come back, that type of deal, and send them away generally happy and more experienced and more able to bring light into the world instead of like a punishment type deal. I do want to get back into the actual, can you hear me better now, by the way? What I'm saying is that it needs to be flexible on the other end, so the dishonoring party can cut losses and cut ties with us as soon as possible, get their money settled, everything settled, the accounts zeroed out. And from that point on, if they leave gracefully and in good regard or good standing, then they're welcome back as a guest. And we want to leave them more enlightened, more valuable to the world than they were when they came in. That's the whole point. But I did want to get right back into the actual mechanics of the smart contracts and the Internet of Things. So what we're doing is we're making a clean break, quick cut, settle all accounts, make sure everybody's happy when they leave and more valuable when they came in. We got that part down. Now I want to move back into the main thread of the show, which is, okay, number one, we removed the hierarchy, ego traps, ego triggers. Now, people are going to trigger themselves. I'm not saying there's not going to be any growth or no development. They're going to trigger themselves when they fail, but the support is there for them to fix it. We're just not there. The hierarchy, the interpersonal thing is just not there to trigger between the people, and therefore there's no resentment for the most part. That's all prevented and engineered
right.
out.
Right,
okay.
Which is really like when people don't, I know in my case, if I don't do something that I've promised to do for whatever reason, you know, I'm the one that kind of gets in the way. If someone brings it to my attention, I still find that I have an ego response to that. Like, damn, they're calling me out on my shit. I already knew that I fucked up, and now I'm being called out on it. So
yeah, it's like Office Space, Corey, where the guy gets like 50 different memos from all 50 different bosses, and they're like, "Did you get the memo?" It's like, ah, I mean, nobody likes that
right.
shit. Nobody likes it. And so we're avoiding those types of traps and pitfalls. Now, how
right.
does the mechanics of this work out? Well, obviously we need a common group thread. We need a common purpose. We need a common space, if you will. So like I said, the community center, that would have the kiosk or multiple kiosks where everybody can check in. They can make themselves food. Everything's free. Part of the duties would be somebody comes in and cleans up. If somebody messes up something after it's cleaned up and somebody files a report, well, then they have to come in and do the food duty the next day just automatically. Those types of things that are engineering out laziness and irresponsibility and things like that. Now, on top of that, well, how does that work regarding performance of duties? Well, like we said, the barrel moving example, if somebody was required to move a couple barrels that were registered on the Internet of Things to a certain spot and they failed to do so or didn't do it properly, that could be checked. And even, you know, there's some smart people here that we could hire to run algorithms and things like that that would scan, automatically scan with GPS and so on and so forth and give like a preliminary report. And then that preliminary report could be looked at by the person whose duty it is to oversee all the duties for that day, who gets to sit in a nice cool room and do whatever, because he's done all the other stuff and built up so much resource availability and rewards that he gets to do that for 2 days out of the week, he or she, whatever. So that type of thing is how I see it running. And by building in or incorporating the fact that the only person these people are agreeing with basically is the land, and then also having the legal standing of the land as well. You can't just pretend, is it valuable? Is it proper? Is it legitimate just to write up an affidavit and have everybody associate under that land as an entity? Yes, it is. But when it comes to enforcement, you always, it's not what's right, it's what can be proven in court. So what I see is like a preliminary petition in a local county court where the land is situated and say, hey, just plain and simple, this is what we're trying to do. If what's-his-face celebrity can marry his right-hand glove or whatever, then we can surely create a trust whereby this land is a beneficiary or the land is an entity itself, a living person with rights and duties to contract. And oh, by the way, here's the contract it has, the basic contract it has with everybody. Will you please declare that this is contract is valid and enforceable in a court of law? Boom. Now you've just got it enforceable on your own terms from that order finalizing that petition. Called a petition for declaratory judgment. Declare our rights and duties in this. We're unsure of it at this point. Now, by doing that, you've already handled everything that you need to do from the beginning, incorporating the non-hierarchical structure with the land as an entity, making contracts with the people as the second phase, and then the mechanics, like we spoke of shifting duties, duties that don't want to be done on the shit list, transferring and allocating monies that should have been allocated to somebody, but they failed, so it went to the person who had to do their duty, yada, yada, yada. All that stuff can be worked out with algorithms and programming, but that's the mechanics. And connecting every single thing to the Internet of Things, including somebody's body, and no, not in an Orwellian style. It would be like, this is your body. There's no tracking on that one, right? It's not going to be GPS related, but this is your body. This is your container. This is your rights. You are protected. This is the basic protective rights you have for this body. And by doing that, you're being totally legit in a legal fashion. You're describing actual objects that are living and valuable that can be protected. So that means from intrusions. If anybody tries to come with a bullshit victimless crime, the contract on the land would say, I forgive, you know, through the creator, I forgive this person of their crime. And as long as they're on this private territorial enclave that's foreign to the U.S., and as long as it's not a violent crime that they're being accused of or sexual crime in nature or something like that, well, then we're keeping them here, right? Or crime of moral turpitude or something like that. Otherwise, then, you know, they're exempted from that protection. And is this legal? You bet your fucking ass it's legal. Can the U.S. authorities go on to an embassy, a foreign embassy on domestic land here in the United States? Can they go in there and just arrest people? No, they can't. There's a reason for that. It's called a private foreign enclave, and you can set one up yourself. No, I'm not saying Bundy style or Wacko from Waco compound or anything like that. That's bullshit. You know, we would be having educational seminars and interactions with the local police, most likely. I mean, that would be preferred. Educating them on what we're doing, showing people how to be better people, reducing the crime rate and reducing the workload for these guys. Okay? Maybe even proving up the model of private security, having smart contracted private security as the enforcement for protection. So what happens when the SWAT team comes and there's like 12 private security guards at the property? They're like, hey, guys, you know, our protocol is not to use lethal force. So what are you here for? You know, instead of it just totally disarms these people. So what do you think about that, Corey?
Yeah, well, the key to that is giving notice, right? So you have to give notice to the county, right? Maybe give notice to local law enforcement. Give notice to the Secretary of State, Attorney General, State, and on up, right?
And then having the means to enforce it.
Right. And so, and you know, do it in a way that, do it in a way through like a notarial process where all it's recorded and they a non-response or an improper response is acceptance, right? So you're covering yourself and your entity and the people that are a part of it in relationship to the outside hierarchy, right? Which is, you know, it's like the secured party process or what have you, or the sovereign process. As an individual, you can do the same. You can do the same thing with your entity.
I don't agree with doing all of that for people individually, because not a lot of people. I mean, here's the thing, Corey. Even those people, unless we're blessed to find somebody who has actually put this into practice, and there is very few of those. Myself, Jonah Bay, maybe like a couple others. I think a guy named Akeem that's friends with Jonah Bay. Those guys are doing it big. You know, I'm doing my own little thing too. I've had a lot of trial by fire with police brutality and improper jailing and unlawful charges and all sorts of different fucking shit that I've gotten myself out of. But unless they know how to do that type of stuff, I don't think we should, you know, encourage that as a mass thing. Now, I do agree with you that they should look into it, and maybe the land itself, we could sort of make some sort of process that's similar to that, because it's been declared as a person. Right, if you get it declared as having the rights of a person by court, can you then operate as if it's a person on other documents lawfully?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I wasn't necessarily impugning that all the members of the society, if you will, would do that. Probably wouldn't be a bad thing. But yeah, the entity itself, right, in terms of its legal standing, to give notice all the way up the chain, you know, to notify the external hierarchy for the entity itself.
Now, what are some names? Let's just get into some specifics. What would you name the property if you could, Corey? Let me kick out a few things.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I think it would depend on where it was.
Well, are you going to name it a person, or are you going to name it something else?
First thing that comes to my head would be, what's the geological characteristics of the area? That's the first thing that pops in my mind in terms of what kind of name I would give the entity. You know, what is it calling for?
So what do you see? Let's move then into something more specific. What do you see as its specific rights and duties? We can come back to that first one.
The land itself?
Uh-huh. As a person, if it was a person, what basic rights? Obviously, the Bill of Rights, for the most part, there's some of those that won't apply because it's not actually technically a living thing. It is a living thing. I mean, come on, let's be real. It's nature. But it's not. Well, and it is a conscious being because Gaia is conscious. But in a legal sense, you kind of have to stretch that one because it's incredulous to most people in that field.
Right.
So to be colorable, right, not necessarily right. What the truth is. On a esoteric scale, but to be colorable here in the 3D space, you know, maybe we might need to make some adjustments. So what do you think is just a basic rundown? Give me your Bill of Rights for this land and I'll fill in where I can.
Something like the Fourth Amendment, right? That it's safe in its possessions, right? That its possessions won't be infringed upon, right? It's the land that there's a that as like an individual, that it should be free from harm, if however possible.
Okay.
Right.
See, now that sets up the dishonor. You somehow harmed or injured or damaged the land because it can't conduct business, or because you did this the wrong way. And if you make amends by filling up the hole that you dug in the wrong spot, then the land forgives you, and all is settled. That type of thing.
Right.
What's that going to do to the person who has to go make up for their mistake? Well, during the course of making up for the mistake, what are they connecting with? What are they interacting with? What are they getting a greater appreciation for? Even if it's like a silly thought in their head, like, holy shit, I'm contracting with the land. This is so fucking retarded. But, it's actually kind of cool. And, hey, look, I get to shovel this. Oh, look at this dirt. There's worms in it. Like, they see organisms. They get more connected. The forest and nature is a natural cure for depression. So I think that it's beneficial to do these types of things. What do you think?
Sure. Yeah. No, I agree. And, let's see. Unless you want to go way out, there's let's try the First Amendment.
Okay. Now we got to nail down before having the right to speak and free speech. What medium or methods would we have the land speak? Like, so would there be a contract and one person is entrusted sort of like in the trustee position to interpret that contract of, okay, this is what the land is entitled to and this and that. And so based on this, and you didn't do this, so the land is saying this, blah, blah, blah. Is there like a oracle, so to speak, or what's a better way to do that? Because now you've sort of brought in back a little bit of the hierarchy, unless that's a rotating position. But
right.
Then again, we have to find a way to counteract the differences in opinion. It needs to be somewhat standardized.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, again, there's the community, which is a body of people, living human beings. And then there's the land, right? Or the concept of which the land is a part of. Right. So, I guess the body of people, I think, would be first and foremost. I mean, we're not going to despoil the land, right? But really, I think the focus would be on the community itself. Okay.
So then let's do this. Let's do it this way. And we might need to change this, but it's a solution for now. Having a consensus, people who show up at the meetings, people who have a certain sort of like the witness program in CMIT, how that works. If you get voted to be there or prove yourself enough, then you can have more weight to your authority, if you will, just
right.
Based on your good deeds and your solid even. Those would be the qualities that would be based on promotion. How even and neutral is this person?
How much do you show up?
Those are the types of people who would interpret the basic foundational rights of the Bill of Rights of the land and say, okay, well, the land has the right to be this, this, and that, and you have a duty to do this, this, and that, and your failures to do this duty and failures to make up for this duty did this to the land, so then this, this, and that. How do we settle this? And then that gets settled. But there's still somebody speaking for it. So perhaps everybody comes together and agrees on a certain set number of, these might need to be added over time, certain set number of responses that the land would have. And so you can enter this code. We'll have a code list. Like code number one is there's a fight on the property. When you enter this code, somebody will have already, and we've all agreed on this, somebody will have already agreed on what happened based on that. And the land will say something and give a notification to all the members, or if it's private, is it just that dishonoring member, it'll say what it needs to say based on that code that was entered by somebody who flagged it or the administrator who's like, oh, you didn't do your duty, code 40 for not doing a duty.
Uh-huh.
Non-performance of duty, agricultural. Non-performance of duty, workshop. There'll be like separate sections. Non-performance
right.
of duty, showing up to the community meeting. Those types of things, and then the land will basically send out a notification that says, and it will be personal. It'll be like, hey, dude, why did you miss this? from the land. And again, that's the psychological factor that we need to be able to be overcoming these ego hurts or butt hurtness or triggers all along the way. And the only person who should be triggering themselves is themselves, which in reality is the truth of all triggering. But you know what I mean. So that being said, I think that having like a code list, like the police do, they have short codes, like PIN 4 and all those different types of things. I think a code can be entered, and there will be positive entries, not just negative entries, like, oh, you enter a code and the land sends a dishonor notice. You enter a positive code and the land goes, hey, good job. I confirmed that you just did this work. It's been entered on the blockchain record, and here's your payment.
Right. Thanks.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you. Good. Keep up the good work. That type of thing. And is it somebody playing favorites in a hierarchy that's saying that? No, it's the land saying that to everybody who does a good job.
Right, through the blockchain.
Voluntarily, value and voluntarily based.
Right. I also just want to intervene. You say the Internet of Things. That would clearly be a closed system, right, on our own servers and things. No connection
absolutely.
To... I just want to make that point. It seems pretty obvious, but...
And I'm not talking about like hooking up their smart TVs or anything like that. We have no interest in spying on what you do in your dirty little personal time or whatever. Everybody's freaky in their own way. So let it shine. Do your thing. As long as you're providing value, we want everybody to be the maximum amount of free, but also responsible at the same time. But here's the thing. We want to make the responsibility fun. So we're like tipping the scale. Instead of having an even balance of do what you want and responsibility, it's like do what you want, do your responsibility, you get to do more of what you want. We tip the scale in that favor of like, oh, I like to do responsibility because I'm already doing what I want, but I get to do it more and I get to do more things and I get all these extra incentives. Oh, yeah, here I go. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the basis of voluntarism. Voluntarianism, excuse me.
Exact. Yeah, another...
Go ahead.
No, I was kind of going to go. I was going to go off topic a little bit, but continue.
That's fine. No, please.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, community in terms of, I've seen examples of community that are pretty tight, and they all do. They leave plenty of room for individual time and group time, group activities.
That's right.
Music performance in particular, you know, wouldn't be an obligatory, you know, like you got to know how to play an instrument in order to come into this society, although, you know, it's perfectly legitimate. But, you know, I recall earlier when I was growing up, and probably more so, you know, in the mid to early 20th century, every house had a fucking piano or a guitar or something. You know, people were much more inclined, even if more often than not, it was like, you know, church oriented or Christianity oriented or whatever. But people would get together and sing and, you know, some people would play music and, you know, and so music and singing in particular, I think is a good group activity on a lot of different levels, even down to the vibrational level of what it does to the human organism when as an individual you sing, and then in a group dynamic when people are singing or performing music, that is, in my experience, one of the most powerful group dynamic things that you could possibly do. You know, so it's, you know, along the lines of, okay, what kinds of things does the community do to entertain themselves and further cement that sense of community, you know? So that's a whole other...
Yeah, I agree. And I don't, Corey, I don't think that's off topic at all. I think it's right on point and usable. Mm-hmm. So the first thing you said about balancing the group time and the individual time, absolutely, that'll be there. They'll have liberal amounts of time to do what they want. What I am saying also, another point that I agree with you, is that music in a common thread is important. And that music is the one powerful tool that's been proven time and time again to do that, especially drum circle and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Now, how do we incentivize, and your connection's breaking up again, Corey, but just hang in there with me. How do we incentivize that? What, for what purpose? Well, if somebody is going to be performing, obviously they want to get, you know, they do it for love, but they want to get paid. So if somebody's leading the drum circle or leading a performance, anybody who shows up there is going to get a credit towards their duty or something like that. If you show up, you get a credit towards your duty. Okay? And I don't know how exactly that would, how we would work that out and rebalance it on the other side, but basically you wouldn't have to do a small duty or something like that. And it would go on to the shit list. You know, maybe we tweak this a little bit, but my point is this. If you show up to the music, you get compensated. And then if you are doing the music, you also get compensated. And one does not preclude the other. They're both and happening so that there's not this, like, needy, again, hierarchy dependent, like, I need you guys to come follow me, come be here. The person just wants to play, and they can record on their instrument, which is recorded on the Internet of Things, that they've played for this many times, and they put a purpose of what they did it, and they say a value of what they think it is. Well, the land can come back and go, okay, well, if there's no witnesses, then it's worth this much. Or if there was one witness and they say, yeah, I liked it, it's worth this much. If not, it's worth the basic amount, as if there was no witnesses. That type of deal, right? And that witness for reporting gets, for reporting a good report or review gets, I don't know, like something. So what I'm saying is we're holistically integrating the relationships and balancing both sides so that they're both producing. There's an excess. We're not in a zero-sum game. We're in a positive-sum game on every little aspect of our community. And I really feel that the crucial element to this is going to be the smart contracts, Internet of Things, tracking, doing all the menial tasks and tracking and registering and recording that a normal person would be required to do and would burn out quickly on. You know what I mean?
Right. And then there wouldn't be the one person who's going around sticking their nose in everybody's business, or at least the perception of that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, a really neutral third party with no ego.
And it would all be like electronic or on a billboard. It would be like, if you miss this notification and it's sort of embarrassing to you, but you miss it or you see it and then you don't respond to it, now it goes up on the call-out board or the billboard where everybody sees everybody's dirty laundry being aired because they failed to take care of it. You know what I mean? Which is like another further proof. Now they're witnessing. There's no excuses. And it just provides more incentive. And that's how I see the ostracization, if you will, that you talked about with the wild horse dynamics. That's where I see that coming into play in a healthy manner. It's not too over the top.
Make sense? Yeah. You know, and also, too, it's like when you look at it, when you look at back at times and places where we had a more tribal existence, right? Pre-city states, right? Where human beings clustered in smaller groups and things. You know, it was really a matter of survival for everyone that the people of the tribe, you know, live up and actualize their commitments or their responsibilities, right? They get their benefits from being in a tribe. There's protections. There's, you know, there's a sense of belonging. There's all kinds of benefits to being in a tribe and a family, even on the family level, you know? And there could be potential deficits, you know, serious ones, for individuals in a family or a tribe or a small group, not doing what they agreed to do.
That's right. And we could even have a sliding scale. And like, if too many things start going on the shit list, well, then whoever completes those things on the shit list gets an increasing or exponentially increasing amount of reward for doing that. So that people will be, eventually people will be clamoring. Now, there would be also, to balance that, a cutoff period where if after a certain point, well, then it reverts back to the normal, okay, well, you still only get 5 cents for doing this or a dollar for picking this up or something like that. Does it make sense?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, you know.
It's all about the balance, bro, because there's this, like, when you think you only have two things to deal with, there's always the counter perspective that also has the other two things. So you've got to, like, counter, it's like double bookkeeping. Double accounting, bookkeeping, it's very interesting how we're going to have to do this. But I think that the logarithms and the algorithms of blockchain and smart contracts, Internet of Things, is really going to solve a lot of this for us.
Yeah, I mean, also too, we have plenty of examples of society. That's the wonderful thing about the time that we live in now. We have access to information like we've never had before. It's very clear, the historical records. Yes, there's opinions one way or the other about a certain subject, but the raw data is there. What works and what doesn't work in human communities is pretty much all there. You know what I mean? So
I think we know what to build off of and engineer out of the problem in the first place.
Sure. Absolutely. So that's why, you know, this conversation in particular, I find it very encouraging, because, you know, we have systems that we're living in now that are hugely, in my opinion, hugely off base. Right? They might have been based on certain principles, but they've gone way off track. They've gotten huge. And, you know, I think these smaller type community ideas are way more manageable in a lot of respects, and way more, there's way more personal accountability, sense of belonging, right? This huge amount of alienation that people have in the society, this gargantuan society that we're a part of. I just think it's the natural, course of the future. You know, you hear people say, think locally, act globally.
Yeah. It's the ultimate voluntarism / anarcho model. Like, if you can take over the city council and take over a small town and implement this through the existing face of legal channel, because there's a legal entity that's a corporation sitting on top of every land state that the people are entitled to. Mm-hmm. That means that there's two offices. There's an original de jure office where people are entitled by themselves to just go run for. And then you have the corporate offices, which are paid for by super PACs and so on and so forth, to get these people into. And they're just basically state apparatus with a nice face that says, hey, we're not a police state. You're free. See, you get to elect your representatives, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Those people get in there, and then it's all fucking cronyism from there.
Right.
I mean, look at Flint, Michigan, and countless other examples.
So
eventually, to scale this up, it would require some sort of integration or takeover peacefully. Mind you, when I say takeover, I mean like running for office, like a mass, like everybody moves to this area and runs for office. This is an idea, a brainchild of one of my best friends and former guest, Frank Bacon, right? And so he's like, why don't we just take over a town and scale up the blockchain, local sustainable communities in this little interconnected networking web with intercommerce and trade and so on and so forth, and then just blow that up as a system all across the United States.
Infrastructure in place already, buildings.
That's right.
Nice.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I'm going to be doing an all-star episode, Corey, and that's going to be all of the big top names that we can get from our past guest list. I want them all to chop it up at once together. Let's talk about digital currencies. Let's talk about cement. Let's talk about aliens. Let's talk about life after death. Eugene Braxton's really got my ear, man. I really like that guy. And he's going to be hopefully available for that. And then obviously a show by himself as well. So I'm thinking Johnny Delirious, who I promised I would get on the show, I just forgot. We're going to get him back on. We'll get Frank Bacon on. We'll get a couple other people as well, and do some really big stuff and just have a really nice episode. And then I have a special guest who's coming on, Corey, if he can make it. This guy is so busy. If he can make it, I communicated with Jonah Bay, and he's willing to come on the radio show.
Nice.
A big thing. Two
nice.
Guys fucking epic. I don't think people realize.
No. Guy is doing it. Yeah. Very nice.
So we'll just leave that at that for now. We're going to go ahead and end the show because we're running over a little bit. Listeners, I really appreciate your patience. It seems like we have a different type of audio issue every once in a while. But the value and the content is there. The substance is there. And I hope you learned something. And if you have any questions, you guys start calling in. Don't be scared. We're open-minded. And we love to hear different opinions. You know, and even we love to debate. So if you don't agree with us, call in. And that's accepting trolls, of course. If you're trolling, you call into the show, well, then you're going to get energetically back 10 times what you're putting in. Just know that. Okay. That being said, a shout out to all my fellow Steamians. Shout out to the Facebook friends that haven't got on Steam yet. Steam it, that is. And until next time, just pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.